This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
What a joy it is as we approach Thanksgiving to give focus on this topic. I've got a couple guests with us in the studio, and I want to invite you to feel free to call and be our guest this morning also as we wrap around this topic, our minds, our conversation, around the topic of a true Thanksgiving. What is a true reason in your mind to give thanks? It could be for our country, for our great God. It could be for your spouse or a child, for something good in your life, or for the challenge that's helped you to grow. Our guests this morning are Mike Engel with First Wesleyan Church. Mike, welcome.
Welcome. Oh, hey, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I hope you are. Yeah, we're going to have some fun today and be kind of informal. Mike, you've been here, actually, what, 32-plus years as a pastor?
Yeah. So you've got a lot of... 36, actually.
36. I can't keep track anymore. And Joyce Wright is with us in the
Good
studio.
Morning.
And Joyce is the director of Open Arms, our local crisis pregnancy center. And she, both of these folks I picked because they are so involved in our community, and they have such a deep love for God and His Word. I just thought they would be a great asset to the topic of a true Thanksgiving. Now, if you wish to call in, you can call the number 693-WHKP. Mike, I think you have a psalm that you wanted to read, and I wonder if you could start us with that.
Yeah, Psalm 100. Mm-hmm. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations.
What a great way to start, just thinking about the goodness of God.
Yeah.
William Law, in his book called A Serious Call to a Devout and Holy Life, writes this: would you know who is the greatest saint in the world? Mike Engel. No, he was not. It's not he who prays most or fasts most. It's not the one who gives most alms or is most eminent for temperance, chastity, or justice. It is he who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God willeth, who receives everything as an instance of God's goodness, who has a heart always ready to praise God for it.
That's
and
good.
There's something really truthful about that, isn't there?
Yeah.
So
one of my friends called from, actually, Texas last night, and we're getting ready to get off. Of course, he was thanking the Lord for a lot of wonderful things. And I says, Happy Thanksgiving. He says, I don't celebrate Thanksgiving. And I thought, you know, that's the way some people are. And I know, but it kind of shocked me that he said it. But I said, you know what? Every day's Thanksgiving. It doesn't make any difference. We do have a day that we kind of set aside for that. But every day is the day that we need to give thanks for what He has done for us and for who He is, because it's so important for us.
You know, it seems as we watch now the stores moving their hours from Black Friday into Thursday, they're creeping in onto it and commercializing this season so much that people, they might think, how can I rest on Thanksgiving Day? I've got to get out to the store.
Yeah.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
More and more could be said about our country. We don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But this is really why we've got this radio show on this focus this morning. We want us to sort of turn back to it.
Amen.
But, you know, talking about them going out to the stores on Thanksgiving, I think that's because there are a lot of desperate people out there that are fighting to get things for their kids. And I think it's desperate times that is drawing this. I know the retailers want the money
and
for
the retailers
it.
Are desperate, too. They're
right.
Trying to keep their stores open. And so the solution has been to offer a deal and get people out earlier than the next store will get them out.
Yeah.
So understood, and so we need to be compassionate even as we urge people to relax about all the purchasing on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah,
so let's think about Thanksgiving itself for a few minutes, the history of it. I'm going to read a partial statement. This is from George Washington in 1779. He writes, "Were it the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, to humbly implore his protection and favor, whereas both the House of Congress have, both houses have, by their joint committee requested me, and here it is, to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer.
Amen.
To be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity to peaceably establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend next to be devoted by the people of the states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country.
Amen.
And of course, this has been ratified and reaffirmed by Lincoln and others since, and it's a national holiday. And yet, what should our focus be, Joyce?
Well, I think our focus should be on God, because there have been debates back and forth as to whether this country, they were seeking religious freedom when they came to this country or not. But we had some godly men create our Constitution who were ordained by God to come up with this great Constitution. And I'm just so thankful that I live in America.
Amen.
With all its problems, with all the political problems, we still live in America, and we're still free.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. So what do you plan as you're looking forward to Thursday? What are you all planning? You have family, you're traveling. And guests, again, if you're listening now and you might want to call in 693-WHKP, feel free to talk to us about some of your thoughts and plans and your thoughts about Thanksgiving. Mark, are you hanging around?
Yeah, we're going to be around. We've always loved the tradition thing about having it at the house.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, I guess we're getting lazy in our old age. Not for sure. We've got planned to take with my daughter and her husband and his dad, and we're going to go out and eat.
All right. Well, that's kind of nice.
Well, the only thing is you don't have any leftovers in the evening to eat. We've done that several times, and it really is quite enjoyable. Just to sit around. It's already been prepared. You don't have to do a thing, and really rest on that day. So that's kind of what we're planning to do. Yeah.
Joyce, how about you?
We're traveling. Have to travel to family.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a tradition within the Wright family that we all travel to Augusta, and that's the one time of the year that we're all there together. Christmas time, everyone has their individual families, but at Thanksgiving, we come together.
Yeah, we're hanging tight. We've got our kids traveling, coming to be with us.
That's good.
And now, what do we say? Let's talk to two sets of people. First, those who don't have anywhere to go. And really, this holiday is going to be a bummer of a day, they're thinking, because they're going to be alone and try not to even think about it. What do you say to them?
Well, I do know one thing, that we have several places here in town that are going to be doing Thanksgiving dinners.
Right.
And
looking at papers. Just look in a newspaper and take note. Immaculata's got a huge meal for the community.
Right,
and I think several others.
Down on 7th Avenue, I believe there's a little restaurant down there on 7th Avenue, that new little restaurant that's going to be doing, I don't know the details, but down in that area, there are just several things. So, I mean, that will help out in getting a meal.
Yeah.
And there will be conversation, there will be people there. And so that is one thing, and of course those that can't get out, that makes it a little hard too. But I just suggest to somebody, at least they have they could have that alternative.
Okay.
And remember, if you're having Thanksgiving here, and a friend of yours lives down the street, and you know they live alone, think about them at Thanksgiving. Think about taking them a plate or inviting them down to join you. It's a time that we can share what we have with others.
One year, somebody gave us a bunch of turkeys that, in fact, they were already cooked and everything. And we had big old tins of a potato salad, regular potatoes, mashed potatoes, and gravy, and all that. And we divided it up, and I don't know how many different people and families that we went to sharing the turkeys and that. You know, it was the most fun, just being able to get it out and blessing somebody on that day. It's exciting.
It's really, I think, what makes it special is it's not the food, it's the fellowship. It's the people around the table,
right,
bringing family, friends, someone who can't, really wouldn't have anywhere to go.
That's it. That's
So,
so what's that about? It's about relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you go back to the original Thanksgiving, and there was a shared meal with the Indians who had been a help to those early pilgrims. But they were celebrating their relationship with each other as well as with the world around them, and that's, it was incredible.
Sure.
The food was just an added part. So many times we see in the Bible, how does God came to us in the form of a person, Christ, and how does he build relationships? So often it's around a table, isn't it?
Yeah.
Around food. We're all pretty good at that. So what reasons do we have to give thanks? Let's think about that.
I want to give you a verse of Scripture.
Okay.
Psalm 28:2. It says, "The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all of my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving." You know what? That's just the... Yeah, too. And you know one thing that I've always, of course, most of us as parents, when we, one of the first things we taught our little children was to say thank you.
Yeah.
You know, and I just believe how wonderful and important it would be that if every mother and father would take time to teach them at an early age what Thanksgiving is.
Mm.
I just think that because Thanksgiving opens us up to the love of God and sharing of the love of God and sharing with thanks with others and letting us know what that really means, and I just think it's so important. And but to give him praise for the strength he gives us, for the daily benefits, and for his love for us, we cannot quit thanking him enough for that.
What you're saying, Mike, is even when things are tough around us, God is still good to us. You know, Paul said it this way, 2 Thessalonians, I believe, 5:17, give thanks in all circumstances. It's not because of the situation, but it's because of the God who's going to work for good through the situation.
Yeah.
Do you say that?
Yeah, that is exactly right. Through the hard times, through the bad situations and circumstances, through sickness, he is there. He's holding you up. He's helping you and strengthening you. And we need to give him thanks.
Think about the two of you, whether there's a story in your own life you could share about a time, the last thing you were thinking about was giving thanks. And when you did, it just kind of turned things around. And I'll start by just saying that a few nights ago, I was dealing with a lot of pastoral situations and found myself awake most of the night, just kind of pondering and praying and trying to avoid complaining, you know. And then it occurred to me that the scriptures urge us to bring our burdens to God.
Yeah.
And I did. I gave it all to the Lord. And then I began to get the settled peace that God was going to use all these things in my life and the trip, all for good. And I found my heart filled with thanks.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's the... You know, the scriptures talk about how we know once we pray that God has heard our prayers, we can thank him in advance for the answer. It's, let me say, this is the way we know we've really prayed through an issue, is when our hearts become thankful. We've truly surrendered it to the Lord.
And, amen.
So that's a little story. I don't know if you all have any of those.
I feel like I'm fortunate enough to have Thanksgiving just about every day in my walk.
Wow.
God, and it's so awesome. And and when you're in a ministry of helps, it's so easy because you see God move. And Mike, I know you see this a lot. And Bill, I know you see it.
Yeah.
But God is so awesome that we should give him thanks every day. Every day of our life, every hour, every moment of our life. And sometimes it's the hardest things that cause us to just step back and give thanks. I know I serve as a chaplain at the hospital, and sometimes that's not an easy job. And afterwards, it's like, God, why did you allow that to happen? And I think of an instance where a couple were, they were going out to Nevada, and they were leaving the next day, and he had a heart attack and died. And I'm thinking, God, why did that happen now? Why didn't they get out there? You know what he said to me? Well, would you rather it happened on the airplane on the way out when they didn't have anyone? She had you tonight. And I'm saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you are God and not me. So God is good in every day of our life. But, Bill, I'd like to hear from some people out there who are really hurting today, who really don't have anyone to talk to, who really don't have a Thanksgiving plan. Those are the people I'd like to see us reach out to today.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, and even if you don't want to call in, I can understand that. Know that we just send our blessings and love to you, and there is a God who is good.
And we pray that somebody will reach out to you on Thanksgiving.
Yes, yeah, so I looking back at my life, I can say generally it was the difficult times, a hard times. Those are the times I really grew closer to God, grew better as a person. I want to give it's just kind of a stark reminder of how God's goodness is here with us, and even in the most difficult times. There is a pastor named Gary Wilburn who in 1636, amidst the 30 years war, this was in a sermon by Gary, but in 1636, amidst the 30 years war, a German pastor, Martin Rinkhart, it said he buried 5,000 of his parishioners in a day. In a year. You guys, I'm getting this wrong. 5,000 in a year. The average of 15 a day. That sounds a little better, doesn't it? 15 a day? I mean, that's a normal year for a mid-sized church. That's incredible. But most churches don't have 5,000 parishioners, and he buried 5,000 in one year. Anyway, his parish is so ravaged by the war, death, and economic disaster. In the midst of that darkness, with the cries of fear outside his window, he sat down and wrote this table grace for his children. It begins, and I won't read it all because it's so famous now, "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices." And he goes on. And that's the point. No matter how difficult it is, God is still there. And we sometimes can't come out with the understanding or reason why we give thanks for the circumstance. But God still loves us. As you started reading that Psalm 100, God is blessing us. And he will use the challenge somehow for good. We just need to trust that.
There's a little poem. It says, "The will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you, where the arms of God cannot support you, and where the riches of God cannot supply your needs." That's just a promise that no matter what we're going through. And Bill, I don't in any way want people to think that I'm complaining or griping, but I went through sickness about several weeks ago that took me down lower than I have ever been before. It was where I'm not even going to explain any of it. It was just very, very bad. I wound up in the hospital for a while, and I got home, and I want to tell you, I went to the depths of depression. I went through the place of loneliness. Now, was it because I'd given up on God or God had given up on me? No, but it's just the way old devil. He was trying to do everything he could to get me discouraged. But that whole time, God was there. He was supporting me. He was carrying me. He was lifting me up. And I prayed and I asked the Lord, of course, and he came and reassured me that he hadn't left me. And I just thank him for that. And good things happened out of it. Good things, wonderful things, that God had met my needs. He's touching me. He is healing me and giving me real spiritual victory that I can share this with somebody else who has been depressed, who's been lonely. God is tremendously wonderful. God does not protect us from the things that he will use to perfect you.
That is so true.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, we want to avoid them.
Yeah, of course.
Those very trials may be the best thing for us in some sense, because this is not our home. We're being prepared for eternity with the Lord, and that's part of the preparation. There's so much in Scripture about how trials are there to refine our character, to build our faith. What do you say to the person who has been through trials and they've kind of abandoned the faith? They feel like God has abandoned them. Joyce, do you have any words for that, for that person listening now that feels that way?
Well, depression can do that to you, can't it, Mike? And if you are feeling that way, I just pray that God will touch you right where you are, and God will let you know that He is real. And don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't ever give up.
That's it. Hey, listen, Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plan to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. He's there listening every moment of the day. He will listen to you. And it says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's the purpose. We can search for it. We can search with him, for him, and he will hear us, and he will answer that prayer to the glory of God. He will do that in no matter what we're doing.
Thank you.
He will do that.
Yes. Listeners, we're going to take about a 30-second, one-minute break, and we're coming back. We've got a caller on the line who's going to bring a comment or question to us in just 1 minute.
Have you ever wanted to read the entire Bible from cover to cover? Most Christians have, and you may even be among those who have attempted it. Yet only 10% of Christians have ever read the entire Bible. B90, or Bible in 90 Days, is a Bible reading program that can help you achieve this important goal for your life and for your spiritual development. By reading only 12 pages a day, you and your friends, your Bible study group, or even your entire church can read the Bible in 90 days. To find out more about B90, visit us on the web at scriptureawakening.com and click on B90, Bible in 90 days. Read every word that God has spoken and shared with humanity. Check it out. That's B90. At scriptureawakening.com.
This is Bill Campbell. We have Pastor Mike Engel with us and Joyce Wright, Director of Open Arms, our local crisis pregnancy center, as we're talking about the theme of Thanksgiving in this special time of year. And we have a guest who's calling in now on the phone. Your name, please?
Sharon.
Sharon, thanks for calling.
I just want to thank you guys, first of all, for the service that you give the community. I know being in ministry, it is not an easy task sometimes and a thankless job sometimes with people. But, Joyce, I commend you for the work that you're doing with Open Arms. I think it's really great. I want to say thank you to all the unsung heroes in our community, the law enforcement that keep our streets and everything safe during the holiday season, and having to work on holidays as they do, the hospital personnel and you know, just the service people that's out there all the time. You know, God is so good, and all the scripture that's been quoted today has been great. But I have to give my favorite verse from Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Sharon. That was beautiful.
Sharon, thank you so much for your heart. And I know you pray. And I just thank you for what you're doing for God.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. And you just keep up the good work.
Okay.
God bless you.
We're going to have that reward in heaven.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Sharon. If you're listening and wish to call in, feel free, 693-WHKP. Give a reason why you're thankful to God.
I got one quote here.
All right.
Only God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph, a victim into a victory. God is good all the time.
Amen.
Wow. How could it get any
it's
better
so true.
Than that?
Absolutely. You know, we tend to think about the first Thanksgiving and a big feast, and we can feel like, you know, today things are more difficult. But let's remember, I just want to bring us back for a moment in history. The first American Thanksgiving wasn't actually 1621 when that group of pilgrims shared a feast with friendly Indians. The first recorded Thanksgiving in our country took place in Virginia more than 11 years earlier, and it was not a feast. The winter of 1610 at Jamestown had reduced a group of 409 settlers to 60.
Yeah.
Their survivors prayed for help without knowing when or how it might come. When help arrived in the form of a ship filled with food and supplies from England, a prayer meeting was held to give thanks to God. And, you know, if that all that suffering hadn't have occurred, would this country have its rich heritage? I don't think so. You know, and good things don't always come easily, but it's worth it. Let's hang in there.
You know, there are questions about whether this nation was founded on Christian principles or not. You'll find people that will argue the fact. But in 1620, the pilgrims, when they arrived in America, they formed a compact called the Mayflower Compact that begins with these words, "In the name of God, amen, having undertaken for the glory of God, for the advancement of the Christian faith, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got a very rich heritage. I think a lot of it's been lost with revisionist history, school textbooks and the like. And it would be good at least to get a balance and reclaim the rich, rich Christian heritage that we have, generations of it.
As a young person, I never liked history. I wanted to go forward. I wanted
Amen.
To not look backwards.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, now I look at history and think how rich it is and how wonderful and how much we can learn from the past. And I would just encourage young people to search for the true history of our nation.
Yeah. So here we are today. In a few days from now, Thanksgiving Day comes. What should our focus be? The food, of course, the fellowship, the family. But what about God? Let's think of other reasons. Sharon called in and gave some good reasons why we should give thanks to God. Let's just talk for a while about reasons we can give thanks.
I think God needs to be put in his place. That's number one. That's the way I feel about
okay.
it. At all times, in every way, put him number one. And a lot of people don't do that.
Mm.
Somebody on Facebook this morning showed a $2.5 million new car, silver something or other. And I wrote down underneath it, somebody's God.
Mm.
You know what? They put so much emphasis in the worldly things of this life. But I want to tell you, I believe God needs to be number one in our hearts, in our lives, in our country, in our churches. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
If at every church would put God number one. I think it's so sad how so many things have slipped away from us.
Yeah.
We need to get back to the Word, back to the Lord.
Well, that's good. That's really good, Mike. Even in a church environment, we can get centered on human beings, on our own accomplishment, you know, who gets the limelight, on, you know, just things that divide us, jealousies and the ridiculous things, and yet it so happens so easily, doesn't it?
And yeah, I think about the people in New Jersey, in New York, and all the suffering that they're going through, and, you know, I'm thankful that we have electricity. Every time I turn the little switch at night, I'm thankful I have electricity. And they're going through such hardship. So, you know, I think we should pray for them and pray for their surrounding areas to reach out for them during this Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This last week, several of the churches, of the Wesleyan churches around in our area, took up coats and blankets. They sent a whole trailer up there to another church in that community that was helping to get out the food and clothing to the people that still needed it. We say, well, what can we as a community do, or a church? if we combine together and help each other, we can see things done. It might not be a great big thing. It's not going to be worth no millions of dollars. But it's those little things that we can do collectively as Christian people to help others and to let them realize that we love them. We can't do a lot, but people working together will see great things accomplished for the cause of Christ.
Mm. Fantastic. So I want to give thanks to God because he is good.
Amen.
And his love endures forever.
Amen.
Now, it may be hard for us to see that, to receive it, to experience it, but it is absolutely true. His love endures forever. In fact, it says in the Bible, God is love. And so, when you think about God as a father who loves us, you can come to him and say, God, I'm really having a hard time right now. The book of James, the first chapter, James writes in a time of great persecution, hardships we've hardly imagined, not just famine in the city of Jerusalem, but spiritually there's a great attack on anyone who had faith. And he said, count it all joy when you face all kinds of trials, all kinds of difficulties. And if you lack wisdom, ask God, he'll give it to you. But through these trials, he's going to perfect your faith. He's going to help you to grow. And that's the wisdom you'll have when you talk to him. And so I want to give thanks because we've got a father. He disciplines us. Mm-hmm. He guides us. He provides for us. No matter how low it gets, how difficult it seems to be, he will provide for us. And it seems to me that Christ, God's own son, came into the world and lived really as a pauper, as a street person. He had women. It was embarrassing in that culture for a woman to be given support. Women typically wouldn't do that. He had women as his main supporters as he traveled as an itinerant preacher and went out to bless the multitudes. God humbled himself as if to say, not just being born in a manger, but living so simply, as if to say, I know what you're going through. I care for you. I will provide. Mm-hmm. It may not be everything you thought you needed because you listened to the TV and the message of society, but I'm going to meet your needs. And for that, I give thanks. I really give thanks. God is so good.
Yeah.
Well, what do you say about, just briefly, about the storm that hit the Northeast and, you know, Hurricane Sandy causing such damage? Is this an act of God?
God allows it.
Yes.
That's mm-hmm. the best way
that's
that
good
I can
theology.
Say.
Uh-huh. God allows things.
It's not because they were a bunch of wicked people and they, you know, it's God allows it. And
yeah.
And look where they're, you know, they're living right on the edge of the ocean, and this is a natural thing. It came in a really, really bad way, but I sure don't think we can blame those people for being so wicked that God decided to zap them out of there. Yeah. I think we just need to look on them with compassion, with love, and let them know we're praying for them and that God's going to take care of them.
I mean, when it comes down to it, the Bible unfolds a story of a world that is cursed, that humans who fell into sin, who turned from God. He allows these things for a time to help us look heavenward and say, this is not our home. And one day we will be home, and it will be incredible. So even when we don't have an answer, we can give thanks.
I'd like to, I know that I'm going out on a limb here, and this is a twist, but I'd like for each one of us every day to ask God, what is God thankful for that I did today?
Mm.
God, what are you thankful for that I did today?
Mm.
What did I do right?
Mm.
Yeah, to try to think about God's perspective, God's heart.
On us.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, we need to keep in mind Israel and what's going on over
yes.
there, too.
We really do.
Because that's what God asked us to do. To
remember
and,
Israel.
And, mm-hmm. and so there are just things all around the world that we need to keep our attention on and giving thanks to God for what he's done and helping others.
We thank you, listeners, for being with us as we talk about a true Thanksgiving. And before I move into the amazing journey, I want to say that next Monday, a week from today, we have Henry Lysing with us, who has a degree in law and who's given his attention and heart to study the American heritage, the Christian side of it and the legal side and so forth. We have a fascinating interview with Henry around a heritage of Thanksgiving. So we're going to pick up this theme and give a lot more depth and history tied to it. And I think you're going to really enjoy it. But right now, we move into the amazing journey. And we've been going through the Bible. Hope you've been reading with us. And we're now in the book of 1 Corinthians. And I want to read to you a verse and then open up a topic as we think about time, as we think about, hey, just a few days till Thanksgiving. Can't believe how time's flying. Soon it's Christmas and all. Think about this one. There will come a time when our reason to give thanks becomes so incredibly evident. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm intentionally, as we look at this huge book about the story of a church that had gone astray in many ways, we're coming intentionally to the last chapter, to this conclusion, and through this, we'll use this as a window to understand the book. Listen, Paul writes, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, we'll all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised, imperishable, and we will be changed. So he talks about a mystery. And let's think about that word mystery. We think about TV thrillers or, novels, spy stories. And in the Bible, the word mysterion, translated mystery, refers to something God had long planned, and then he brought about according to his plan. You can think about, for example, the incarnation. Or here's a mystery, predestination. We're not going to get into that now. Or the mystery of prayer. Why do I pray today about the future that only God controls? So what is with predestination? How does God work out my salvation if I'm the one that makes a choice? Or the mystery of the incarnation. How could the eternal one come into time? All these are wrapped around, really, the mystery of time. In Paul's writings, I just read to you those two verses in 1 Corinthians 15. They talk about, as you're going to see now, the mystery of time in a moment, in each minute, and in every person. So look with me for these few minutes, if you will. The mystery, first of all, in a moment. He says, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. So do you know how long it takes to blink? Well, I did some study on it, and I found, while you can blink quickly, the average blink, if you're not thinking about it, takes about one-third of a second. And Paul's saying, that's how fast everything will instantly be changed. That which is physical becomes swallowed up by the eternal, the spiritual. And it's hard for us to imagine that, because time is something we don't often contemplate. Back in 1927, Stanley Eddington, a British astronomer, first coined the term time's arrow. And here's what he meant. He meant that from the beginning, the launching of time when all things began, to the end, when it all seems to come to a stop, time is in a constant progression, marching forward. As one hymnist has it, time like an ever-rolling stream bears all of its sons away. And Eddington, this astronomer, was talking especially about enthalpy, is simply the principle of physics that said, if you have a closed system, things are always dissipating. There's always an energy loss. And by this, we notice something's always moving in a certain direction. Cosmologically, the universe is always expanding. The astronomers tell us one day, things are going to get really messy around here, because you can only expand so far before you get into trouble on planet Earth. Or experientially, think about it more simply, our washing machines wear out, things rust out, our buildings age and crumble, our muscles get slack, our skin begins to sag. Gravity is always pulling us toward, I hate to say it, but toward the grave. And so when we think about one moment when everything changes, and as Paul says it, the immortal swallows up that which is mortal, well, it baffles our minds. But who controls time after all? Is it not God? So let's go forward and think also now about each minute. Paul said, in a moment we will be raised imperishable. If we think about that possible, know that promise of the future, it should change everything about us. Here's the way I look at it. We tend to say, if we've got a good biblical perspective, I'm not just walking this earth without meaning. My true home, as we've been saying in our time today, is yet to come. And we might even get more biblical and say, this is like the preparation for eternity. So it all is filled with great purpose. But as I've come to see it and think about it even more, here's what strikes me. As we look toward the future, we begin to realize every moment is filled with eternal value. It's not as though, let's say, God's playing a game with us in this long span of eternity. There's the dot of the existence of the universe. And we live in this moment of time, and he's looking down and kind of gaming around. No, if there's a game to be played, it's like a chess game. You and I are players on a table, And God and the angels and all of heaven is looking in, because what we do now impacts forever and ever. Nothing could be more important than the moment in which you and I live right now. And that's why Paul concludes the chapter with this. Therefore, sisters and brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the vain in the Lord is not in vain. When we begin to grasp the importance of each minute, it's not just that we will be changed in the future, it changes us for today. There's the old quote, he or she is so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. The reality is, if we become biblically minded about future things in heaven to come, we will become more good for God here in this world. And I speak now about every person. Again, if we go back to that reading, it says, we will all be changed. Did you know that's all of us? Everyone will be, well, first of all, the dead will be raised imperishable. You'll be raised whether you believe it or not. Some of us being raised will not be changed in the way we would hope. We'll be living in eternity without the goodness of God. Others will be changed in that twinkling of an eye to be made like Christ with new immortal bodies. And so when we think about that one moment, and it brings important to each minute, we should realize the importance is for every person, because all of us will step into the next life. You've heard stories about life after death experiences and people who come back having been dead momentarily and say, I saw the glory of God, this kind of thing. If you don't bank anything on that and you just write it up to extra oxygen hitting a certain part of the brain, a human experience, okay, that's fine. But what about Scripture? This incredible book that's grounded in the coming of a person. Our calendars are based around the coming of Christ. A person who was raised from the dead. At the time this happened, there were more than 500 witnesses, we read early in 1 Corinthians. Let me read some of that to you. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and in which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain. For what I passed on to you as of first importance was that Christ died according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And he goes on to talk about all the witnesses. If it weren't true, don't you think it would have been discredited? There are a lot of books that bring us back in history all the way to the early church days. We've got, you know, historians that write about the time. Why didn't they confront the idea of all these witnesses? Because they were true witnesses. Why was the world reshaped around this resurrected Christ when his band of followers wanted to abandon everything before he was raised? Because there's power in the resurrection, even for today, for every person. And so as you think about time, you may think about when Time Zero was launched. Astronomers tell us that, and they're just looking at the stars trying to make their calculations, but more than 14 billion years ago, there is, they say, a big bang. In a moment, they say, it all began. But what they can't explain is how it began. The Bible says, in the beginning, God. And there's going to be an end for all of us. And this is important for you, for me, for each of us, to think about time. Because one day, it will meet with eternity. It's interesting, if you look at the Genesis account, you have all these markers at the beginning. You have the tree of life that got offered and people refused. You have the angels casting them out of the paradise that would be reclaimed at the end of the Bible, the last two chapters. You've got the tree of life again, now open to all. There is time's arrow from beginning to end, but notice it begins and ends with an eternal God. That eternity will be yours and mine. It is a great mystery. We can't fully understand it, but we can claim the promises that are made clear. The mystery of time, we can say in conclusion, is shown by the incarnation. It's thought about in words like predestination. It's experienced when you and I pray, but it's never been more evident than the word, as encompassed in the word salvation. Think about it. The eternal God has said, if you just believe, I will live inside of you. I will give to you eternal life. That means the life you have now that you believe one day will be extinguished and your physical body dies, that life will continue. But you will be changed. And so I conclude, as Paul did, with the last words of 1 Corinthians, let us therefore be steadfast and immovable. He wrote this to a church that had problems with, well, issues of sexuality. They had problems with leadership and strife and division, issues about money. They even sued each other. They were in court, as Christian to Christian. And Paul said, come on, get with it, get a perspective. And he gave us the greatest chapter on the resurrection in all the Bible to remind us of how it is that in a moment we'll be changed. Therefore, each minute is of eternal significance. And therefore, every one of us, each person, should live as though this moment could be our last. I'm going to close us out with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time in which we approach the season of Thanksgiving. Help us, Lord, to realize that even this country, if we look at the great span of world history and put it then as a pencil point dot on the timeline of eternity, well, really, it's kind of amazing. You are God. And you've been at work in this country, and we ask you to continue to work in our lives. Lord, we surrender all to you, and we give you thanks, for you are good. Amen.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. And Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. Visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com, where you can download free podcasts of all Beyond Words programs.